you know, the calling of the disciples, and if we're going to look at the Old Testament, we like to think about the flood and how everybody, all of the species survived and all the good things that happened. We don't really like to have Scripture kind of hit us in the face. But this is one of those Scriptures that it can hit you in the face, but it doesn't, the more you become familiar with it. Now, if you've never heard it before, it may come kind of startling, but if you've heard it before, if you try to live it, it will become more and more comfortable. I'm reading today from Romans, which is not one of our Gospels. Normally, I do a Gospel reading here, but I am reading from the letter to the Romans, beginning the 5th chapter at the 12th verse. Hear these words of Scripture. Paul says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all. For just as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. But law came in with the result that the trespass multiplied. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification, leading to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah, there's a lot of faces just kind of going, "What did you just read? What does that mean? I understood that like I understand some foreign language." It's a lot of big words. It's Paul's way of talking. Paul has this way of talking that's real high. You know, he's smart. He's intelligent. He's educated. And we're not used to anymore in the 21st century talking like this. We don't talk about sin having dominion over us, over man, and through one man, righteousness and justification. We don't talk like that. At least most of you don't. I don't know too many of you that on your daily, you know, conversations with one another or say to yourselves or each other, "Hi, are you feeling justification today? I'm feeling the dominion of sin today." I mean, we just don't talk in that kind of language. So let's break it down just a little bit here so we understand a little bit more. Sin came, and poor Adam and Eve, we blame them, you know. We would be no no better than them. But sin came through humans. We could not resist. We just had to eat of the tree of God's knowledge when we really can't handle that. So, humans sinned. And because of that, death came. Out of the Garden of Eden, where there was protection, where God provided us with shelter and a covering and all of those good things, and death would never be, out of there and into the rest of the world, sin existed. But humans didn't know it until they actively participated in it. And after the first humans participated, it got easier and easier and easier for us humans to participate in sin. We were more and more tempted. There were more and more things to be tempted by, and we didn't fight the temptation nearly as much as we should have. God gave us the law. That still didn't stop us. I mean, it might have stopped us from doing some things, and it might have stopped a small group from doing most things, but it didn't stop us even then. We kept sinning and sinning and passing it on from generation to generation to generation. And God said, I guess I'm going to have to do this a different way. And God sent a man who was fully human and fully divine. And that's the huge difference between the first human and Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ truly was a human and was faced with all temptation, was faced with all sin. But his divinity did not allow him to sin. It knew better. And it said, actively showed humanity, actively, don't sin, folks. It's not a good thing. It's not good for you. It won't help you. It will hurt you. It will hurt other people. But still, we didn't get it just by his word, just by him speaking and teaching. And so, we come to our time of Lent, which are the days that lead up to our Lord and Savior's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus, by going to the cross, takes on all of the sin of the world. And I know that's kind of a hard concept to understand, but it's the truth. And the more you can trust that in your own life, the better off you're going to be. Jesus takes all sin from the world on himself. And then, as human, he dies. As divine Lord and Savior, he rises from the dead and shows us that sin doesn't have to be the last word and death doesn't have to be the last word, that we can truly have new life, not only eternally, but right here and right now with our Lord and Savior. The pastor's class this week, both sessions of our pastor's class talked about when we're going to be baptized. One of the reasons that we believe in immersion for baptism is because when we are, see this skinny little person? I used to be that skinny. Anyway, when you're standing there waiting to be baptized, you are standing there as fully human, full of sin. Probably sins you don't even know you committed. You go down into the water and you are washed of your sins, or your sins die, however you choose to look at that. It's like germs that die, you know, and they fall off. And then when you come up out of the water, you are raised to new life in Jesus Christ. And with that comes the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who will help you stay on the path of Jesus Christ. Now, A lot of us don't have problems with the initial getting saved stuff. Go down, come up, I'm saved! And we are. And we're grateful. And we, at first, we live like the grateful people we ought to be living like. But then we take our journeys along the way in life, and we think we know better where to go than God does. And so, all of a sudden, we're walking along and we hit a wall. And we try to move the wall, and we can't move the wall. We hit against the wall, and the wall won't move. And we can't figure out exactly what to do. We can't climb over the wall. We can't go around the wall. The wall's right there. What do you think I ought to do? Somebody answer it. We're going to stand here a long time.
Pray.
Turn around. Repent. I'm going down the wrong road. I hit a wall. What do I need to do? I don't need to beat up on the wall. I don't need to try and find a way to climb over it and around it and all that kind of stuff. I need to turn around. I'm going the wrong way. God's put up a huge blockade that says, idiot, you're going the wrong way. God doesn't say that to you. That's only to me. That God calls me an idiot sometimes. But it's only because I stand there and hit, you know, against that wall for a long time before I finally turn around. One or two of you might have had this experience too. Now, I can turn to my left, I can turn to my right, I can turn all the way around. What's going to get me farther? Turn all the way around. I'm going the wrong way. Now, I can walk straight out the door and head in a new direction. And that's what this passage is talking about. We get so used to banging our heads against a wall. We're just going to stand there and be at a wall. We're not going to move. We're not going to turn around. We're not going to admit we were wrong. Heaven forbid that we would do that. We're not going to admit that maybe we were following the wrong group of people. Oh, heaven forbid we do that. We're not going to admit that we actually might be sinning on our own. That one, it would be a good idea for us to admit. It's so easy. We just need to turn around and go the way God wanted us to go in the first place. We're going to run into another wall because we get stubborn and we decide we know where we're going better than somebody else, so I'll come over here, but I'm not going to go against this wall this time because maybe we see the wall coming the next time and we say, no, I've learned. I shouldn't run into this wall. It's not going to get me anywhere. I'm going to turn around before I get to the wall. Now that's when sin begins to lose control over your life. See, sin is what's causing you to walk into the walls. Christ Jesus saves you, turns you around, and gets you walking on the road of life, but then you decide to take a left turn, a right turn, or whatever, and you start to head for a wall, and somewhere in your spirit you begin to know, no, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm going to turn around before I get to the wall this time. We've made progress in our faith, we've made progress in our spiritual journey, we've made progress with God. If we keep doing those things, we might one day see the wall in the distance and say, I think I'm going the wrong way. I'm not even going to go down the rest of that road. I'm going to turn around right now. When we do that, I know that that might seem like a silly illustration, but it's the truth of our lives. When we follow God's way, when we walk with Jesus Christ, it's not that we're not going to have problems, and it's not that we're not going to have pain, and it's not that we're not going to have struggle, but it is that we're going to be strong enough to get through those times. We're going to be strong enough to know to stay with Jesus, that He'll get us through those times, and that we're going to have enough faith that sin can't control us. Its hold has been broken on us. And it really can happen for good. It doesn't have to, you know, we don't have to keep sinning and repenting and sinning and repenting and sinning, especially the same sins. We could actually give up some sins permanently and walk in the delight of our God. The other day, have you ever, I'm sure all of you, have either seen this or experienced it yourself? Mom, dad, somebody in the store, little kid, little one, goes running off. Mom, dad, come back. No, wait, that's the wrong way. Don't go that way. We need to go this way. Yeah? And then we got to chase after and go after it. And, you know, God's doing that to you every day. Think about that a minute. God's calling to you and saying, whoa, you're going the wrong way. Come back here and be with me for a little while and I'll show you. It's over here. The good stuff's over here. The other day, I was in a Family Dollar store. And I was like in the middle of the store, and Jim Rutherford was walking out of the store with his parcel that he had purchased and paid for. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that he was just walking out with stuff. And I said, Jim! Now, I didn't want to yell really loud, you know, because then you're embarrassed because there's other people in the store and they think you're nuts. He didn't hear me, and he just kept walking. How many times does that happen to us in our life with Jesus? Jesus is calling us. Pat! But we're not listening. It's not going to get you anywhere to not listen. It's going to get you to run right into a wall if you're not conversationally listening to God. Life's pretty sweet when I listen to the Lord. It's not always easy, but it's pretty sweet. Can be for all of us. And if it is for all of us, it becomes sweet for the world, too. Let us pray. Almighty God, power, all power belongs to you. Knowledge belongs to you. Your way is so much better than ours. Please help us, Lord, not to follow the ways of evil and temptation and sin. To see the walls that are put up for us by you and to turn around. Help us, Lord, choose life here and eternally. Thank you for always being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is Blessed Assurance, the first two verses. And as we stand and sing, know that you do have the blessed assurance of your Lord and Savior. He's always with you and he's always calling to you. Let us stand and sing.